We withdraw, we make plans, and we return. We're not beaten, and we know the humans for what they are. The clan will think I'm dead, she said. Jules and I, both missing. If I returned you to Ndama, they'd track the ship and your keep would pay the price. If you send a message, they might track that too. We must bide our time. I know, and I have to find Jules. It's a temporary absence. I know that too. Raia was leaving Sangelios for the first time in her life, for a world she'd never heard of. She regretted the moment she'd packed that small bag and barred Telcam's way. She should never have left. But then she knew she wouldn't have been able to forgive herself if she'd stayed home and waited in dutiful ignorance. Shipmaster, Telcam has sent another message, someone called. He says a Kig Yar vessel will help us. A big, heavily scarred male straightened up and rose a full head above the rest of the warriors on the bridge. He must have been bent over, looking at the control panel. How much are they charging us for that? This is genuine, Shipmaster Galur. Telcam insists. The warrior pressed something, and suddenly Telcam's voice filled the bridge. It was him, most certainly. They'll give us the position of the Arbiter's fleet and cover our withdrawal if need be. So, the Arbiter failed to pay his bills. Then, Galur, this is Avumed Telcam, the voice boomed. I strongly suggest you take the aid of the Kig Yar offer while you still can.
Galur hit a control button so hard that it looked as if he punched it.
Very well. Stand by.
Why are the Kig Yar helping us? Raia asked.
Why did we help humans?
Forze spread his arms.
Politics. The galaxy is less clear-cut and orderly than it used to be.
If Raia heard the word politics one more time as an explanation for everything and nothing, she swore she'd sink her fangs into somebody. When she got home, when she finally found Jules and returned to Beckan Keep, she wasn't going to tolerate this nonsense any longer. The galaxy had changed, and the Sangeli had to change too. She squeezed through the press of bodies, drawing no attention, which was a measure of how urgent the preparations to leave had become. The deck vibrated beneath her feet. They'd make their move soon.
This is Shipmaster Laz. I have a warning for all ships.
The voice was enough to get instant silence on the bridge. It was Kig Yar, a female. It was also confident and measured. So Kig Yar females were used to authority, used to serving in ships. Raia had rarely come into contact with the creatures except when the scruffy males came to the keeps trying to sell overpriced goods, and her view of them was largely shaped by Jules and Naxan debating what would happen to the stability of the Covenant if they were ever allowed better weapons and ships. They were not to be trusted. But now there was no choice.
Continue, Jackal, Galur said. I'm listening.
Make your move now. The Arbiter has 5 cruisers positioned to pursue and destroy you. Get to jump velocity as quickly as you can.
I can work that out for myself. I can see them.
Galur pointed to a display, but there was no way that the Kig Yar could know that. This was for the crew's benefit. The illuminated grid rotated to show 5 lights.
But I can't see your ship. Look, if you run into your kin, that diseased thief Sav, tell him we want Pious Inquisitor back. We have our own special Mev-Ut out on him.
The Kig Yar didn't seem daunted.
I know no Sav, and if I find your ship, I'll expect recompense for recovering it. But right now you need to watch your display and set your sublight drives to full power.
I cooperate purely because Telcam advises it.
Good. Keep watching your sensors, and get out now while you still can.
There was still something about this Kaig Yar, this Laz, that didn't quite fit with Raya's view of the species. Everyone who wasn't busy with other duties did as Laz suggested and watched the grid. The five lights were now moving, one of them accelerating toward Ontom at a speed that caught everyone by surprise. The Kaig Yar must have known what was coming. Somehow they could hear. The Kaig Yar's voice was suddenly more distant, as if she was talking to someone else.
Missile One, fire!
The fast-moving cruiser kept accelerating for a few more seconds. Galura's helmsman reacted. The vibration in the deck suddenly increased, and Raya felt the frigate lurch away, making its escape. But as she watched the grid, unable to turn away, the point of light that was the Arbiter's cruiser vanished. All around her, other sensor screens changed color or indicated spikes.
"What's happening?"
Galur demanded.
"What does it look like, you fool? I've destroyed one of their cruisers."
The Kaig Yar sounded furious.
"Move or die. Your choice. Now do what you have to while I target the others."
"She's right, my lord," the helmsman said.
Raya couldn't see outside the hull, but she could feel that cleansing truth was now soaring to the edge of the atmosphere.
"Devotion has gone. There's been a massive explosion. Possibly a human radiation weapon."
Galur was losing that swaggering disbelief. He swung around and faced the display. Raya could see it too, but there were now too many lights and she didn't know which were enemy vessels and which were telcams.
"I still don't see your ship," Galur roared. "Where are you?"
"Don't waste your time worrying about my position," Laz said. "Fear for your own."
"You have radiation weapons. Human missiles."
"We've acquired many interesting pieces of military surplus."
Something on the display changed. Everyone drew in a sharp breath. Another point of light had vanished. The deck vibrated beneath Raya's feet as cleansing truth picked up speed.
"That was far vision," the helmsman said. "Gone. She's gone." "Run, shipmaster," Laz said. "I cannot take them all. Run."
"And another,"
the helmsman's voice rose in pitch.
"The cruiser, Axiom, has gone.
How long before we can jump?"
"We need more time, my lord."
The helmsman held